Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Fast my good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Friday, the 1st of August. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome in to 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, is the Isle of Man's work permit system open to abuse? One MHK's fears current checkups on employers aren't strong enough. Meanwhile, if you think there's insufficient parking in Douglas, think again. That's what Douglas Council says. And some of the island's best snooker players are headed for this year's Home International. All those stories and more coming up. Drop me a line if you want to say hello. Text WhatsApp to 166 177 or you can email to studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's head on over to Simon Richardson, who has the latest news headlines. Fast to my, Simon.
Fast to my. Douglas-based Inexio Limited is to cease taking bets under its Isle of Man gaming licence and wind down the platform operated under the island's licensing regime due to what it calls changing market realities. The company, which is based in the Fort Anne on South Quay, says the surrender of its B2C online gambling licence issued by the Isle of Man Gaming Supervision Commission is part of a strategic realignment of its regulatory structure. The steam packet company is warning its Monday sailings could be subject to disruption or cancellation due to adverse weather. Ronald's Way Met Office is forecasting gale force 8 winds with gusts of 45 to 55 miles per hour on Monday. A yellow weather warning for high winds has been issued. And work to upgrade the departure lounge at Isle of Man Airport is nearing completion. New carpets and seating have been installed, with over 280 seats added across two areas. Further afield, a teenager's been jailed for at least 18 years for the attempted murder of another man at last year's Notting Hill Carnival in London. Romani Tewitt was caught with a weapon at the same event in 2023. Donald Trump's top man on the Middle East, Steve Witkoff, spent 5 hours in Gaza this morning, which he says will give the US president a clear understanding of what's going on. Palestinians report being shot at near aid sites, with Israel blaming agitators. And a manhunt continues in Scotland for a suspect in a sexual assault of a boy near Loch Ness. Police believe an attack happened in a tent early yesterday morning. Those are the headlines. More news at 6.
Good morning. Thank you very much for that, Simon. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Gloss and Glazing. Dry and often sunny this evening with clear spells overnight, with moderate to fresh northwest wind easing slightly, lowest temperatures of 12 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow, though, dry with sunny spells, light to moderate northwest winds will back southwest during the afternoon, top temperatures of 18 degrees Celsius. There is that yellow weather warning to be aware of. That's going to be coming into effect on Monday at 6 in the morning for 24 hours for strong to gale force winds. That's going to be affecting all the islands. Gusts of up to 50 miles per hour are predicted. And as you heard during the news there, there could be some disruption to the steam packet sailing. So that's definitely one to keep an eye out for.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674-573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
Ambitions Recruitment Consultants, covering all business sectors in the Isle of Man. Register online or email your CV to info@ambitions.co.im or ring 614 841. Ambitions, for all your recruitment needs, however big or small.
One Architectural Design Company has particular expertise in achieving planning approval for a wide variety of projects, from landmark buildings to spectacular homes. Talk to the experts at Ellis Brown and get your project off the ground. For excellence in design, search Ellis Brown.
Patricia Wild Opticians is celebrating over 30 years of friendly, caring service in Farm Hill and Ramsey. Visit us for professional eye care with stress-free parking. Phone Patricia Wild Opticians on 813 977.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Well, it's approaching 5 minutes past five. We'll begin the show with work permits. Is the Isle of Man's work permit system open to abuse? Every year, the Department for Enterprise carries out 200 visits to employers to ensure the rules on hiring non-Manx workers are being followed. But one MHK fears that doesn't go far enough. That's Onchan member Julie Edge.
I am concerned, as many of the public coming to me are really concerned, how are these people all here? Who's checking their work permits? Who's checking they're valid in the roles that they're in? And when you look at, you know, there's been a lot of concern raised with regards to exploitation in visas. Well, could there be exploitation in work permits also? Because if they're not getting checked that the individual's still working, a work permit is for the place that you're working in. If nobody's doing that check and due diligence, it's open to possibly to abuse. The minister said they do 200 planned in checks, but out of how many work permits that are currently circulating, he didn't have that answer. And I think that's a real significant question that needs answered. What my main concern is that everybody that's arriving on the island is bona fide to be in the workplace, because I'm aware of a lot of our own young people that are going for jobs, don't even get an answer and don't get a job. But there's possibly, you know, work permits or visas being handed out because of all these routes of opportunity to come in.
Onchan MHK Julie Edge there. Well, in response, Enterprise Minister Tim Johnston admits there are always going to be those who try to exploit the system.
Someone coming to the Isle of Man from the common travel area, so that's from the UK or Ireland or from the Channel Islands, if they come to work on the Isle of Man, yes, they need to have a work permit. If someone's coming in from elsewhere, then they need to go through the immigration process and have a confirmation of employment from an employer. There's strict processes. As far as the work permit system is concerned, you know, we do have officers. Their full-time role is to go around checking businesses, making sure that things are being done properly, and assessing situations. And if clearly there's a breach, then that is addressed. Often those breaches are very minor and not intentional, and they can be sorted out very quickly. Sometimes it's more serious, in which case it's referred to the Attorney General's office for potential prosecution. But ultimately, in the common travel area, people can move to come to the Isle of Man. And you know, someone can move here tomorrow and buy a house and live here. They wouldn't be able to claim benefits or anything like that, but they could come and live here. And if they want to work, they need to have a work permit. If they start working without it, then clearly that's an issue.
Enterprise Minister Tim Johnston speaking there, 7 minutes past five on Manx Radio's update. A new campaign getting underway today hopes to highlight the dangers of becoming a so-called money mule. That's a method of money laundering where someone receives money from a third party in their bank account and transfers it to another, or takes it out in cash and gives it to someone else and gets paid a commission for it. The new awareness project is a collaboration between the Isle of Man Bankers Association, Financial Crime Partnership, the Isle of Man Constabulary and the Cybersecurity Centre. Chris Till, the secretary for the Bankers Association, has been speaking to Lewis Foster.
There's sort of three groups. There's obviously the young, maybe financially naive, maybe approached and don't think that it's a serious thing. There's obviously people who are vulnerable in the community who have bank accounts, so that's often people who target it. Or just people who are scammed for whatever reason. You know, it might be that the reason seems genuine, but the reasons behind it are obviously a little bit more suspect, and people may be suckered into that. So there's three groups really, but what we're trying to do is get the message out to everybody and, you know, talk to people about, you know, if it's your children or if it's your elderly parents or grandparents or whatever, then, you know, that they can't be scammed into anything.
How is it that these scammers and people associated with this type of crime, how are they making that initial approach? I've heard it's through Facebook sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it's through Facebook. And interestingly, you know, the sort of stats that we see, Facebook is the concentration on the island is actually higher than a lot of other, you know, either UK or jurisdictions around the world. It seems that everything is on Facebook. Or it may be people approached in the street or through friends. Or it may be just, you know, an approach, you know, by like an email. You know, a lot of these things you sometimes see, not necessarily where the proceeds of crime are on the island, but, you know, sort of international scams. You know, they'll send out thousands and thousands of email just in the hope that they might get one person to answer. Yeah. To say, oh, I'll, you know, you can use my bank accounts. This was seen, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. A lot of students in the UK, the people were being approached on university campuses, or would you like to make a quick £50 or whatever? You know, you can expect this money coming into your bank account when you receive it. You know, just send the amount less 50 quid to this bank account. And a lot of students were getting suckered into that because they thought it was easy money.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
A new apprenticeship programme has this afternoon been launched, aiming to strengthen the Isle of Man's financial services talent pipeline. It offers entry-level staff a structured route combining industry qualifications, academic study and workplace learning. The scheme has been co-designed by UCM, the government and industry to meet real-world employer needs. Officials say it forms part of a wider strategy to support long-term workforce development on the island. Well, I was invited to the launch event this afternoon. I headed down and spoke to Shane Moss, the Assistant Manager for Digital Enterprise at UCM, who explained more about what the apprenticeship entails.
There are six core modules where students will get the foundation knowledge around the business topics that they'll be studying, and then we get to pick from a range of additional units to make the qualification up to eight in total. So we'll start off by looking at the key business concepts. We'll look at things like marketing, we'll cover things like accounting principles, and we'll also look at things like leadership and management as well. And a really interesting one that we're going to look at this year is around like digital within business and the changes that we're seeing within the everyday world and how they're going to impact businesses and what learners need to be aware of around those as well.
Shane Moss from University College Isle of Man is speaking there, one of the key drivers in getting this programme off the ground. Well, naturally, there were a number of senior leaders from the various private sector financial institutions. One of those was Colin Peters, the head of banking at Cayman National Bank. I asked what the private sector thinks of initiatives like this.
I think they're very important. I think it shows that we're investing in our future talent, those that are in schools that don't quite know what's out there. Also, we're going to the idea is to retain students on the island by giving them those career pathways, and we're really providing that investment both from industry and government. And I think that's really key, is that both industry and government have come together to provide this solution.
And one of the modules in particular looks at the digital, the technology aspect. Artificial intelligence was mentioned. How willing do you think the finance sector is to embrace those sort of new technologies, especially when the finance sector is traditionally a very stable one where it doesn't like to rock the boat? And artificial intelligence is often known as a disruptor.
I think it's very key, and the financial industry recognises that and is investing significantly into its future. It recognises that artificial intelligence is there. It's being used in a range of services within the financial services industry, and the financial sector itself is investing and embracing digital technology and providing those solutions to the customers who require it, and it's part of their day-to-day life.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
We'll have the travel for you in just a moment, but Douglas Council says if you think there's not enough parking provision in the city centre, you need to think again. This follows calls from Manx residents for more spaces and cheaper or free parking in the capital. Reporting now is Lewis Foster.
Back in April, Douglas City Centre management asked people to comment on its Facebook page with what would encourage them to visit the high street. The leading response was, well, better parking. But since then, the organisation says it's run two on-the-ground surveys during peak times in key public car parks across Douglas to see just how many spaces are actually available. It says the results suggest the issue isn't a shortage of parking at all, but a lack of awareness about where to find it, with an average of more than 250 spaces available during weekday lunchtimes and over 500 during lunchtime on Saturday. A spokesperson says there's a risk that when people constantly hear there's no parking, they simply avoid coming into the city centre altogether, a perception they say is not only inaccurate, but potentially damaging to the economy. Although many residents perhaps don't know where to find the best available spaces, it says, we are very pleased to confirm there isn't anything close to a lack of parking in the city centre. They go on to say, although many residents perhaps don't know where to find the best available spaces, we're very pleased to confirm there isn't anything close to a lack of parking in the city centre. The findings from these surveys have really helped to highlight the myth, it says, around parking, and we're grateful for the public's input. Now we're in a better position to help point people in the right direction. It goes on to give some recommendations, including 2-hour free disc parking on level 1 of Chester Street car park, regular spaces on levels 2 and 3 at Drumgold Street car park, and a £2 per day fee at Shaw's Brow car park at weekends. In the longer term, the local authority says its officers have pledged to research various aspects of car parking as part of a forthcoming city centre strategy, with options under consideration ranging from free parking during peak shopping times to enhanced provision for disabled and parent-child parking. A spokesperson added, "We've been working through your comments and taking them on board. Some we can action fairly quickly, others will take a little bit longer. But in the meantime, we need to correct the record. There is parking in Douglas, and lots of it."
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, there's a few things to be aware of if you're travelling out and about this evening. We'll start off in Douglas. The traffic light system at St Ninian's Crossroads is being replaced, so temporary lights are replacing the main lights and all filter lanes are out of operation. Also in Douglas, temporary lights on Woodbourne Road and a short stretch of Finch Road is closed for sewer work. If we look over in Ramsey, there are temporary lights on Bowring Road between Windsor Road and the Coburg Road. Let's take a look at the steam packet. There's no issues there, but on Monday there might be some disruption because of those weather forecasts that we heard about in the news. So that is definitely one to watch. Let's take a look at the airport. On the arrivals boards, the 5 o'clock EasyJet from Manchester is delayed by 50 minutes due to being Ronald's Way for 10 to 6. Of course, that means the departure is also delayed, now expected to be on the runway for 6:30. Aside from that, though, all running to time.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Well, it's approaching 17 minutes past five here on Manx Radio's update programme. Douglas-based Anexio Limited is to cease taking bets under its Isle of Man gambling licence and wind down the operation operated under the island's licensing regime due to what it calls changing market realities. The company, which is based in Fortan on South Quay, says the surrender of its B2C, that's business-to-consumer online gambling licence, is part of a strategic realignment of its regulatory structure. Simon Richardson joins us now in the studio. Good afternoon, Simon. I can't help but notice Anexio aren't the first business in the sector to do this. What's the decision behind this?
Fastermine, Christian. Well, the first thing to stress is that Anexio as a company are going nowhere. They will continue to be headquartered in Douglas, where they employ around 50 local staff. Anexio says the decision to surrender its Isle of Man licence follows a thorough business review in light of evolving market dynamics, including the rising cost of compliance and customer acquisition across multiple jurisdictions. Tom Brodie, the chief executive officer, says the company's roots remain in the island, and it's fully committed to the Isle of Man as its operational base and to supporting the local economy long term.
OK, so does this mean an end to Anexio's involvement in the sector?
No, Christian, far from it. Anexio Group continues to hold active B2C online gambling licences under the UK Gambling Commission, the Jersey Gambling Commission, and in Australia's Northern Territory. Now, these jurisdictions will remain the company's primary regulatory bases going forward.
So does that suggest that Anexio are unhappy with the regulatory and compliance regime that's operated by the Gambling Supervision Commission here?
Well, that was something I put to Mr. Brodie, and he stressed it was not a reflection on the GSC itself. He said, and I quote, "While the Isle of Man Gambling Supervision Commission maintains high regulatory standards, which we've always respected and complied with, the decision to surrender our licence is not a reflection on the GSC itself. The Isle of Man remains a well-regarded jurisdiction, but the cumulative cost and complexity of maintaining multiple licences globally has led us to streamline where operational overlap exists. Now, this was a strategic business decision driven by a combination of factors, including customer acquisition trends, technology integration, and operational efficiency across markets. He says we're not singling out the Isle of Man as being more onerous than others, but rather making a broader move to consolidate under fewer regulatory regimes where our commercial footprint is most active. He concluded, "We continue to value our long-standing relationship with the GSC and are proud of the compliance culture we built during our time as a license holder here.
Okay, so just in conclusion, Simon, Anexio are to remain a part of the island's business landscape, is that right?
Yes, indeed. Mr. Brodie says the company's roots remain in the island and it's fully committed to the Isle of Man as its operational base and to supporting the local economy long term.
Simon Richardson, thank you very much for joining us.
Get the full story. Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
Let's turn our attention to sport now. A team of some of the island's best snooker players have arrived in Leeds to take part in this year's Home International, running from today through till the 8th of August. It'll see Manx competitors face top opposition from England, Wales, Scotland and Ireland, and Northern Ireland. Isle of Man player manager Daryl Hill explains why this is an important event each year for local players.
A little bit different just with the type of environment. We go to a very high-end snooker club in the UK, the Northern Snooker Centre in Leeds. That can be a little bit, can take some getting used to sometimes for any new players because we don't have facilities really of that magnitude here. So yeah, it's playing in a team as well. I mean, we have obviously a league here where we play team event, but not sort of team events like this one we're going to, where, you know, we're all sort of playing for each other and vying for team results, if you like, rather than individual performance.
Naturally, of course, you're out there to try and, you know, win as many games as you can, but not just that. But how beneficial is it for you all on an annual basis to be coming up against some high-quality players from the likes of the home nations, in inverted commas?
It's really important. If you have players over here, particularly on the small island, and other nations are the same, really, when they're playing just amongst themselves, you can get too used to playing sort of the same people and the same style of playing and as such. So you get to know the players almost a bit too well. Similarly, the only other thing we have to send players to is the big mainstream European and world amateur events. So particularly with the Home Internationals, it provides a really good stepping stone sort of in between our level and the big European world events. So it's a really good way of integrating our players into international snooker without throwing them right in at the deep end with big major international events. So it's one we like, you know, we like to go to every year. It's a bit easy to qualify for with our ranking system, and it's a great opportunity for new players or our mainstream players to just get really a bit of practice against, you know, all the people, other players, other standards. And it picks their game up. You know, you'll find when they come back then in after the weekend, they'll naturally be queuing and playing better just from being in that environment and being around those sort of players. So yeah, it's very good.
Snooker player Daryl Hill speaking there. 22 minutes past five. For the first time in 5 years, Ramsey Rugby Club will ply their trade in the English leagues for the upcoming new season. What's more, they'll play in the same division as fellow Manx side Vagabonds. Ramsey club captain Josh Cortine and club secretary Will Moffat say everyone at the Northern Club is excited about the campaign ahead.
They're all absolutely buzzing. You know, we've kind of not had many games for the last kind of 5 years or so. So getting back consistent rugby, everyone's buzzing for it.
Well, from your side of things as secretary, obviously there's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes that have to make this happen. Why is now the right time to be moving back in? It's been a few years away. Why does now feel like a good time to be getting back into that?
I just think, as Joss has highlighted, it's really been a lack of games. And we've certainly on Ireland, the last 2 or 3 years, the club has competed in the Cheshire Cup, Vars, and tried to play some friendlies at against opposition from the UK. But it's just getting that regular rugby of a standard that we think we're operating at.
You're not going to be the only Manx team in there, because you are going to be in the same league as Vagabonds as well. That must be something to look forward to, a Manx derby in the English leagues.
Yeah, no, we can't wait. I mean, those lads are all great. Every time we have a game against them on Ireland, you know, they all stay down at the clubhouse and really create a good atmosphere. And yeah, all good lads on and off the pitch, so can't wait to play them again.
Will, do you have any specific objectives in mind for this season as a club moving into this English league system, or are you seeing how it goes a little bit?
I think it's a bit of both, really. We've got, you know, we want to see how it goes, but we want to sort of get in there and sort of cement our position within the league, get the experience that the guys want, and get people back down to the Moorick.
And just finally, Josh, in the long run, if this was to be something that is not just for one season but continues into the future, having a club like Ramsey in these leagues with this standard of rugby as well, how much could it maybe encourage more people to get involved in rugby on the island? Could it entice more people to get involved?
100%. Over the last couple of years, we've unfortunately lost a couple of players, and absolutely understandable, you know, they want to play rugby. So they've gone to Vagas or Douglas to play rugby. Now that we have that, we can offer that as well. Hopefully anyone can get involved.
That's Josh Courtine and Will Moffat speaking to Rob Pritchard there. Quick travel update. I'm being told that Finch Road is now open. So if you're in Douglas, it would seem the work has now wrapped up and is all clear. We'll be speaking to Rob Pritchard about the latest sport in just a moment.
July Tynwald still has a few treasures to squeeze out, including an impassioned speech from Sarah Maltby in which she called on Tynwald members to stop just singing about our green hills by the sea and actually do something to protect and maintain the public rights of way that allow us access to some of the most beautiful countryside in these islands. We also catch up on some of the questions and answers that began the mammoth four-day sitting. That's Perspective this Sunday at 12 on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn. Prepare to have your heart stirred by Sarah Maltby's call for action. Will it make the difference that she's hoping for? You know what? It might.
Thank you very much, Phil. Let's say hello to Rob Pritchard now. What can you tell us?
Pastor Mike Christian. Well, first off in sport, Ayr United has confirmed the appointment of a new first-team coach ahead of the 2025-26 season in Manx football. The Northern club says Phil Quayle makes a step up to the position, having previously led Ayr United's combination squad. Well, prior to the appointment, player-manager Nick Hurt guided Ayr United's first 11 to 3 trophies in the last 12 months. Before the start of the previous campaign, the squad won the 2024 Eric Fletcher Charity Shield in August last year. After that, Ayr United's first team went on to win the Plum Properties Railway Cup in December 2024 before lifting the ECAP FA Cup in April this year. And separately, Mr. Quayle guided the Ayr United combination side to a seventh place finish in Canada Life Combination 1 in the previous season. Elsewhere, motorsport and officials of the 2025 Classic TT have confirmed who the seeded riders will be for this year's lightweight classic race. The field is set to feature both 252-stroke and 400cc four-stroke machinery, with both classes appearing among the top 20 seeded competitors. Well, among those toward the top of the order will be Mike Brown at number 3 and Ian Locker at number 4, who between them have won all three of the most recent corresponding lightweight MGP races between 2022 and 2024. Elsewhere, first on the road will be Adam McLean at number 1, who finished second in the same race back in 2018. Meanwhile, the first on the road of the 400cc four-stroke outfits will be Manxman Nathan Harrison at number 11, with the other four-stroke machines appearing in the top 20, including Alan Oversby, Sam West, Paul Cassidy, Daryl Tweed and Jonathan Perry. And finally, three-time TT winner Davey Todd is contesting a prestigious endurance event in Japan this weekend. The 2024 senior TT champion has been called up to the Auto Race Ube Racing Team for the Suzuka 8 Hours Endurance Race, running from today until Sunday.
Good, my thank you very much, Rob. Well, that is it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Simon Richardson. Rob Pritchard is back with you for Friday's sport in just a moment. Chris Kinley after that. The Kane brothers have jumping in from 9, and then Rian Evans with you from 10 with After Hours. If you're heading down to the Meta Lounge for Sunday chill, I'll see you there. If not, though, I'll catch up with you in Update on Monday. So until then, have a good weekend. Take care. Bye-bye for now.